His stone. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that is upholding us and destroying our weaknesses. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your promises that are coming to pass in our lives and situations. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace and joy that fills our hearts and minds. Thank you, Lord, for connecting us with opportunities that would change our lives. Thank you for breakthroughs and the victories you have given to us. Thank you for doors you have opened. Thank you for doors you have closed. Thank you for helps you have given to us. Thank you for helpers you have sent. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for a lot of blessings, healings, and deliverances you have done in our lives through this program, Healing Springs program. Thank you for more miracles you are going to do even today and beyond. As we continue to seek you in these meetings. Thank you, Father. I ask that you speak your word to everyone. Let the entrance of your word give life and light to everyone. So we pray, let your power flow to solve problems in the lives of your people. Let your healing power flow to do signs and wonders in the lives of your people. And let your name be forever praised. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. One of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped. We started a topic last week. And I gave it a title, I said, Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Since that passage of the Bible tells us so much about Jesus. In fact, all of that chapter was written concerning Jesus. So we need to understand everything Isaiah 53 said or predicted or prophesied about Jesus. And we need to pray with that understanding. So now I'm moving to part two of the teaching, understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part two. Let us go to Isaiah 53. Your Bibles to Isaiah 53. To read verse 3, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we see as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I'll take it again, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So we're going to look at the first point we have here. Point number one, Jesus, the man despised and rejected. Jesus, a man despised. If you look at that, Isaiah 53, verse 3, you're going to see Isaiah prophesying that Jesus would be despised by people, rejected by people, and he will be a man full of sorrows and grief. And in fact, his own people would turn their faces away from him or turn their backs on him. And they would not care about him. So he said, we esteemed him not. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So the first point I'm looking at here is Jesus, a man despised and rejecting. Jesus, a man rejecting. What does it mean to like something. It means to devalue that thing, disrespect that thing, to downgrade that thing, to dishonor that thing. Yeah, and they did that to Jesus when he walked upon this earth as a man. And we are still doing the same to Jesus even today. If you despise the word of God, you despise Jesus. Do you know that? If you despise the word of God, you consider the word of God as not important. You consider the word of God as something you don't have to do. Yeah, you don't take delight in obeying and practicing the word of God. Yeah. Every time you do that to the word of God, you are doing it to Jesus. Yeah, if you despise God's commandment, you despise God's instructions, you are despising Jesus. Yeah, Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And then you feel like you are too big than that scripture. You look at yourself and you feel like go and preach the gospel. I don't have time for that. That is not my own job. You are despising Jesus. Yeah, when you disobey the teachings of the Bible, you despise Jesus. So it was not only then that Jesus was despised and rejected. Even today, we still despise and reject him. And it's very funny that the same people despising Jesus today are the same people professing that they love him, professing that they care about him, but they don't actually love him. And they don't actually care about him. And the Bible is so perfect. The Bible talked about people like that. People who only honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. If you do that, you are despising Jesus. If you only confess or profess Jesus, Your heart is not actually with him, then it means you are despising Jesus. I want to read that place. Isaiah 29 verse 13. Wherefore the Lord saying, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Yeah, can you see that? Isaiah 29 verse 13. So everyone that do that, they are despising and rejecting Jesus. And a lot of people in the church today do that. Their hearts are not really for Jesus. Though they sing about Jesus, they talk about Jesus, they dance about Jesus. In fact, they even preach about Jesus. But their heart is far from Jesus. Yeah, they don't really care about what Jesus wants from them. They don't care about how Jesus feels about their disobedient lifestyle. They don't care if Jesus is hot or not. It gives them joy to cause him pains, to cause Jesus pains. Just as it gave those people the chief priests, the Pharisees, just as it gave them joy as they were causing Jesus pains, beating him, mocking him. Blackmailing him, and of course they nailed him to the cross eventually, and they were so excited doing that. In the same way, many Christians today are so excited causing him pains, causing Jesus pains. Yeah, so before you call yourself a Christian in the public, ask yourself if your heart is really after this Jesus. Yeah, ask yourself if you are really pleasing this Jesus, or you are just pleasing yourself. Yeah, before you say I'm a Christian, or before you say I'm a minister of God, I'm a servant of God, you should first of all ask yourself, If you really care about this Jesus, the Bible says he was despised and we esteemed him not. That is, he was despised and we don't even care about it. It doesn't move us. Yeah. But today we are even the one despising him. And it doesn't move us. We are hurting him. And it doesn't move us. We are disobeying him. And it doesn't move us. What a wicked generation we have become. Very wicked generation. Let us look at Luke chapter 9, verse 22. We confirm in the New Testament the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah 53. How it came to pass in the New Testament, Luke chapter 9, verse 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. But this is Jesus talking. And be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Did all of these things, did they not happen? If you read the rest of this Luke, you will see that everything happened. He suffered many things. He was rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And he was slain. And he rose the third day. Now, when we say he rose the third day, everybody will say hallelujah. Jesus rose the third day. Yes, glory be to God, he rose on the third day. But why do we not always think about everything that happened before he rose? Why don't we sit down and consider all that happened before Jesus was killed and before he rose again? Yeah, the entire life of Jesus is a great message to the church and to the whole world. The entire life of Jesus. What he did, the way he lived, the things he preached, the things he taught. Take time and go and study the entire life of Jesus from the day he was born to the day he rose from the dead. So before we celebrate his death, and resurrection. Let us study his entire life before he died. What he stood for. What he lived for. We should study that. Yeah, before we celebrate his death, because some of you, it is very easy for you to shout the blood of Jesus. Yeah, it's very easy for you. Your mouth is very quick to say the blood of Jesus, or to say the power of resurrection of Jesus. But you don't really consider the things that happened before that blood was shed. You don't even consider how the blood was shed. Was it shed righteously or unrighteously? Or was that blood shed righteously? The death of Jesus, was it a righteous death? Does it deserve to die by the hands of the people he created? These are the things we should think first before we celebrate his death and resurrection. Yeah. So in fact, if we call on the blood of Jesus, we should call it with fear and with great honor and respect. Considering how that blood was shed. You shouldn't just call it casual. Yeah, because it's a price of great love. It wasn't supposed to be shed. He himself decided to shed that blood. Nobody can shed his blood. He chose that man. He chose to shed the blood. Yeah. They don't have the power to do that. He gave them the power to do that to him. Yeah. Should we not respect that? And honor that. Yeah. And so even we say, I know what I'm about to do, or whether they say it or they think it in their mind, I know what I'm about to do now is a sin. But I'm going to do it, then I will ask God to wash me with the blood of Jesus. I know I'm about to sin right now. So let me do it then. After I've done it, I will ask for forgiveness that God should use the blood of Jesus and wash away that my sin. What a wicked generation. So do you think that blood is just so cheap like that? Do you think the blood works like that? You deliberately go into sin, and then you are saying, the blood of Jesus is there to wash me. That's wickedness. That's evil. And the blood of Jesus will never wash you if you do such a thing. Yeah, In fact, go and read your Bible. The blood of Jesus don't wash those kind of sins. Yeah, the Bible says that there is no sacrifice. There is no more sacrifice for the sins of people who have known the truth. And then they now deliberately turn away from the truth. After they have known the truth. Yeah, the Bible says such people, they are piercing Jesus the second time. They are nailing Jesus to the cross the second time. Yeah, that, so there is no forgiveness for such people. There is no forgiveness for such sins. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the only thing that is reserved for such people is wrath, anger, and judgment. Yeah, and that is why many people in the church are falling asleep. That is, they are dying. You hear this one have this disease, that one have that disease. Many of them dying like chicken, because the anger of God is upon them. They take drugs, it doesn't work. They take all kinds of remedies, and yet it doesn't work. Is it not because of this type of things? Knowing what is right and deliberately doing contrary to what is right. I pray that the Lord will help people to repent genuinely in Jesus' name. So we're going to move to point number two. Jesus. Number two, Jesus, a man of sorrows. Let us read that Isaiah 53 again. That is our central text. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. With grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What does it mean to be a man of sorrows? It means constantly, daily, you are being surrounded by the things you hate. Yeah, Jesus is a man of sorrows because is being constantly surrounded by the things he hates. Or maybe I should put it this way. He have to endure a lot of things he hates. So people keep doing to him the things he hates. Yeah. It's just like the way some of you have felt before. Let's say someone offended you, and the person really hurt you. I mean, deeply hurt you. You know, sometimes you don't even want to stay in the same house with that person. Yeah, you don't want to stay in the same environment with that person. Because every time you set your eyes on that person, you keep remembering all the things the person did against you that really hurt you. That exactly is what Jesus goes through every day. He went through that. Then, and he's still going through the same now. Even right now, Jesus is still a man of sorrows. If you have ever seen him, you will know he's a man of sorrows. If you have ever felt his pains, you will know that. If you have ever discerned his heart, what he's thinking in his heart, you will know that even right now, as I'm talking to you, Jesus is still a man of sorrows. Because he's been surrounded with people that hate him, even his own people, people that call themselves Christians. They actually hate him. They hate him. Because these are the same people who don't obey his commandments. These are the same people who take pleasure in doing unrighteousness. And they don't even feel any remorse. So Jesus is still a man of sorrows. So now my question is, are you one of those people giving Jesus sorrows? Or you are giving him joy? If Jesus thinks about you, is he happy about you? Or is he sad? Is Jesus really happy about your life? Or is he sad about your life? So these are the things you should ask yourself. Because a lot of people are making him sad. In fact, we have more people making him sorrowful than we have people giving him joy. Yeah, he's still a man of sorrow. Yeah, and you cannot walk with him and not feel that sorrow. If you don't, it means you have not known him. If you walk very closely with Jesus, you will feel the sorrow that is in his heart toward mankind and all creation. You will feel it. If you don't feel that, it means you are not close to him yet. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 38 and 39. Matthew 26. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As thou wilt. Said my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Yeah. Not because he doesn't want to do the will of God. But because he knows the implication of that. You don't get it. It's not that he doesn't want to die, because he's already dead to self. Anyone that is dead to self cannot be afraid of death, of physical death. Not that he doesn't want to die, but he knew the implication of what was about to happen. He knew that it is very wrong for the creatures to slaughter the creature, the creator. Yeah, he knew it was very wrong. It's a divine criminal offense for created things to kill their creator. Yeah, for the creatures to kill their creator. He knew it's not right for that to happen, but it has to happen. Because the whole world is wicked and human beings are wicked. Yeah. So his soul was exceeding sorrowful. Exceeding sorrowful. Telling you many things that the Lord have shown me about this generation. In fact, I'm not permitted to even speak of those things. Because if I tell you, some of you, you might decide you are not Já não se está vendido ao seguinte. Mas de certo não se sabe de onde diz. E o dia dos fins. Yeah, so it's not something that you can know. Instead, Jesus come to himself to tell you those things. Yeah, but my point is that even now, Jesus is still sorrowful. And why he's sorrowful is that many times it looks as if what he did was all a waste. Yeah, many times it looks as if everything he went through, the death, the suffering, many times it looks like it's a waste because people really have not changed. Yeah. People have not changed, and I used to be very, very surprised. You can study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, study the behaviors of people towards God, the attitudes of human beings toward God. You will see that people keep repeating the same mistakes, the same errors, the same mistakes, the same errors up to today. Yeah. So I personally have not really seen any I've not really seen any real change in many people. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. And I remember one of the encounters I had with Jesus. That was the same thing he said. He said, "These people have not really changed." He said, "I knew their ancestors. I knew them from the Old Testament times. They keep doing the same things." You see, all these things you are seeing now, all the worldly things that is happening now is not new. They have happened before. It's just a repetition. Only that now it seems to be there seems to be a high number of those things, but all of those things is not new. All these things that is happening now is not new at all. They have happened years ago. It's just a repetition. Yeah, so human beings just keep repeating the same things over and over, over and over. Yeah. It's funny to see that people that we think should be changed people are born again, in quotes. They are also not different from normal human beings. They are also still being controlled by the human nature. Yeah. I pray that God will save our generation. Yeah. I pray you will save our generation. Let's move to point number three. Point number three says Jesus. The man went back with belief. Jesus. The man went back with belief. Let us look at Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 27 and 28. Luke 23, 27 and 28. Now, this was when Jesus was carrying the cross to be crucified. He was on the journey to the place where they would kill him. Luke 23 verse 27 and 28. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Thou house of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." The daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. So now that part, or what Jesus said in that place, gave us an insight to why he was really sorrowful and why he did not want to die. Because terror and wrath is coming. That was why he did not want to go to the cross. Because what is going to follow is terror and wrath. Though there will be mercy for people that believe in Jesus, but there will also be wrath and terror. Now, if you study history, you will see that after some few years that Jesus had died and resurrected, a Roman emperor destroyed the whole of Jerusalem. It destroyed their temple. It destroyed the entire country, which is not normal. Usually, what many countries do is to colonize another nation. Usually what a powerful nation do is to colonize another nation that is not as powerful as they are, which was what the Roman government did while Jesus was still with them. But after Jesus died, the wrath of God came and the entire country was wiped out of existence. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. The entire nation, Israel, was wiped out of existence. Their temple was destroyed. All of them were scattered. Up to today, people are still confused to identify where the real Israelites, where they are. Yeah. Because they were scattered forever. But there's a prophecy that God will gather them together on the last days. Yeah, maybe at that time we know who the real Israelites are. The people in Israel now, they are not the real Israelites. The real ones, they are gone. Up to today, we can't trace them. Why? Because they slaughtered the Son of God. That was why Jesus was telling those women, he said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. Cry for your children. Because that emperor was very wicked. He showed no pity on pregnant women or nursing mothers or on children. He wasted them all. Yeah. So Jesus is acquainted with grief because with his eyes, he saw many people dead. Or he saw many people die. People he doesn't want to die. I mean, people he never wanted to die. He saw them dead. He saw them die. That is why that verse in Isaiah 53 verse 3 said, a man acquainted with grief. You know, you don't grieve until when a loved one dies. Yeah, we grieve when someone we love dies. Yeah, so Jesus is a man used to grief because he keeps seeing the people he loves die. And even today, he is still a man acquainted with grief. He's still a man acquainted with grief. Yeah, because he keeps seeing his people, the people he loves, he keeps seeing them go to hell. As I'm talking to you right now, the number of people in hell, they are more than the number of people on earth. The number of souls in hell, they are more than we that are here on earth. So which means that many people keep going to hell and very few usually make heaven. So before Jesus, someone is dead when they go to hell. Now, a woman was hearing a revelation of hell, and she said she would see people beg Jesus because Jesus took her to hell, and Jesus was standing beside her, showing her a lot of people in hell, and she will see those people begging Jesus to give them a second chance, that now they will do things right. He should just let them return back to hell and live a good life. But Jesus would say the judgment is set already. He would say it with tears because he would want to do that to, for them, because he's full of mercy. He would actually want to give them a second chance. But he already gave them a lot of second chances while they were unheard. But it did not change. Yeah. But yet, he would want to even give them another. But the judgment is set, so he couldn't. So with tears in his eyes, he would shake his head that, no, you can't go back to hell. And the people would scream in pains and torment because they know that they will burn forever. Yeah, so Jesus is a man acquainted with grief because he keeps seeing the people he died to save. He keeps seeing them go to hell. Yeah. Yeah, I also remember one of the encounters I have had with Jesus, and he said something with sorrow. Yeah. In his heart. He said, what else have I not done? Or how should I put it? Yeah, I think that was the way he said it. I know what he said, but I want to say it exactly the way he said it. Yeah. He said, what else do we need in this generation that he has not already done? Yeah, but he was concerned. He was concerned about the fact that we keep embracing weakness. We keep considering that we are weak, and we keep considering that we cannot overcome the flesh. We keep agreeing with the fact that we are weak, and we can't overcome the flesh, and we can't overcome sin, and we keep sinning, and sin have now become a normal thing to many believers. Yeah, so he was saying, what else do we need that he has not done for us? Yeah, that was what he said to me in that encounter. That what else, like saying, what is left that I have not done for these people? I even gave my life for them, but see what they are doing to me. See what they are doing in return. Yeah. Usually when I hear things like that from him, it breaks my heart. Honestly, and it moves me to tears. Yeah, because truly speaking, there's nothing we need that he has not given. He gave us powerful men of God. He gave us the Bible. What else have you not given us? He gave us grace. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us his name. We can use his name anytime. So think about it. What else have he not given us? He gave us everything. But yet, we keep offending him. God have mercy on our generation. Now, let's move to the last point. Point number four, Jesus, a devouring lion. Jesus, a devouring lion. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, verse 16. Romans 2. 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So this Jesus that is very meek, humble, merciful, and compassionate, today is going to devour nations. Because he's a devouring lion. He's going to judge everyone. He will judge the secrets of men. Even the things you did in secret, Jesus will judge them. Even the thoughts you secretly think in your mind, those thoughts, those actions, Jesus is going to judge them. Apostle Paul said, according to my gospel. So me, I'm also saying, according to my gospel, Jesus will judge the secret of men. So you should fear him. You should fear him. Let's look at another scripture before we pray. Second Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 1. Second Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. If I judge the quick at the day of his appearing. So Jesus is a devouring lion. He's not going to spare his enemies. He's not going to spare the sinners. No matter how important you think you are, if you do not obey God now, Jesus is not going to spare you in the day of his wrath. He will not spare you. There is a day specially made for this judgment. Even the people that have died, they will be brought back to life to face judgment. whether they are in hell. So which means even the people in hell, they are still going to face another level of judgment. Hell is just a temporal place of judgment. There is another permanent place of judgment. So it's not yet, hell is not yet, how do I put it now? Hell is not yet giving people all that they deserve. Even as hot as hell is, it's not yet giving people all they deserve, all the punishment they deserve. There's still a greater one that is coming. And Jesus will be the one to execute that judgment. And there will be no mercy. There will be no mercy. There will be no mercy. Yeah. But if anyone can escape the first death, which is hell, hell is the first death, I think they will not experience the second death, which is the judgment I'm talking about now. This judgment that Jesus will do according to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 is the second death. Yeah. So if you escape the first death, which is hellfire, you will not partake in the second death. But if you don't escape this hellfire, that's all. The second death is sure. Yeah, the Bible says, blessed are those that do not partake in the second death. It's not going to be funny. Yeah. So that is the message the Lord is giving to you today, my brothers and sisters. I pray you will not consider this teaching as the normal teachings you have been hearing. I pray that you will think deep and be paid. As I say, if I tell you things that I know by revelations, you'll be scared. Yeah, you might not even want to serve God again. But you would think God is too weak, that he doesn't want anyone to make heaven. But that's not true. We are the ones that are wicked. And we are the ones that don't want to make heaven. Yeah, so we're going to pray, because of our time, we'll just pray one prayer point, and then I'll pray for you, and I will pray on your water. We're going to talk to God. I don't know if you listened to this message from the beginning till the end, or maybe you were distracted. And I don't know if you really got anything from all I have said. But I want you to talk to God. I'm going to say, Father, I don't want to cause Jesus more pain. I want to please Jesus. I don't want to add more sorrows. The sorrows in Jesus' heart. Say, Father, I want to please Jesus. Help me. Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray like that. Say, Father, I don't want to cause him more pains. He is already in a lot of pains. I don't want my own life to add to that pains. I don't want my life to add to his pains. Say, Father, please help me to please Jesus. Say, Father, help me to please Jesus. Say, Father, help me to please Jesus. Say, Father, help me to please Jesus. Help me to please him with my character. Help me to please him with my lifestyle. Help me to please him with my attitude. Help me to please him with my dressing. Say, Father, help me to please Jesus. Help me to please him with the thoughts in my heart. Help me to please him with the words of my mouth. Therefore, I don't want to add more sorrows and pains to the ones Jesus already have. Help me to make him happy. Help me to give him joy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all we have prayed. Amen. We'll be praying for you now. Father, we thank you for your so faithful. Thank you for giving us Jesus. The world would have perished if not for Jesus. If not that you gave us Jesus. Yeah, we wouldn't be here right now if not that you gave Jesus to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus so that through him we can have life. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for this teaching. We thank you for this message you have sent to us at this time. We thank you for revealing Jesus to us in Isaiah 53. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to obey the truth. I ask that you have it help everyone here to walk through to conquer sin, to walk through to conquer flesh, to walk through to prove that they are real Christians. Oh Lord, help everyone here to do your will in Jesus' name. I ask that you fill these waters your people have brought to you with your fire. Let your fire fill these waters right now. In the name of Jesus, let your power, your healing power, fill these waters right now. In the name of Jesus, anything this water touches that creates fire of the Holy Ghost, any sickness, any weakness, any disease, this water touches shall catch fire of the Holy Ghost. The grace of God that produces instant healings and deliverances shall possess this water you have brought to the Lord in the name of Jesus. And far beyond your expectations, the Lord shall help you and change your life. And so shall it be. In Jesus' name, I have prayed.